Ain't no Orpheus, he's no Eurydice, by Dare Liberty. What are you doing, Sammy? There's a brush sliding over the skin of his back, the telltale chill of cold air on something wet. A binding ritual. A pause. So I can find you. There are soft murmured mumbles, soft words he can only half hear, the slow, steady stroke of that brush, drawing intricate patterns, the occasional breeze the sand blows over his handiwork. Another small pause. So I can always find you. There's the cold of something metallic and round, a coin of some sort, pressed against the small of his back. There are a few more hushed words and the disc heats up, burns, fire hot. He curses. Sam hisses. And then there's only a dull throb, metal cool again. So I'll always be able to find you. He keeps the amulet clutched in his hand, leather strap wrapped tight around his wrist as he finishes the incantation, closes the book and sets it back down on the floor beside the gates. He takes one look back at the graveyard, at the car, at Bobby and Ellen watching him, before he picks up the Colt. 2 hours, Sam, Bobby mutters under his breath, warning, still clearly disapproving. Sam nods. You'll know when. His hand tightens a little more on the amulet. So I'll always be able to find you. Hell's a big place, and 2 hours isn't a very long time. He takes one more breath and slides the Colt into the lock, spins it, and lets Hell rush out to greet him. His spell holds. He can feel the fire licking at his skin from all sides, but they don't hurt him. Not yet. The disc in his hand burns cold. Sam grits his teeth and walks forward step by step by step, reaches out with his mind, searches for the answering echo from the ritual he'd drawn onto Dean's back. He's tried this a few times before that day came. He knows what Dean's mark sounds like. He just has to find it amongst all the screaming. He was prepared for noise, but nothing could have prepared him for this. Who could have known that Hell would be so loud? He finds her sitting on the side of the road, headphones in her ears, bopping her head to the music. Sam, she says, surprised, almost pleased, as though she's such an old friend. She's wearing a different face, but she sounds exactly the same. Meg, his lips curl. It's Diana now, she corrects, something sharp and sinister in her eyes. She knows how much Sam misses him. The Winchester bond's no great secret, really. She gives him a small twirl. She looks exactly like what Sam imagines Dean would have looked like as a girl. Like the new dress? Perfect, he says, draws out the vowels, smirks slow. He raises an eyebrow, feels the shooting pain in his temple, and hears her surprised gasp. He's been practicing. Hi, Meg. He leans against the side of the Impala, makes himself comfortable. Tell me about Hell. He's been practicing a lot. Demons are lying sons of bitches. Everyone knows that. Sam knows that. But when the demon in question is practically twisted around your finger, when it can't remember which way to turn without you helping it out, then lying's a little too much for its brain to handle. Almost everything's too much for it to handle. It turns out the demons are really, really fond of irony. They enjoy it, laugh at it. They think it makes things much sweeter, makes pain more exquisite. Meg tells him, giggling a little, that they've put Dean where they kept John. Places for fools who deal with the devil, she says, eyes wild and bright. You think you're like John, Sammy boy, but you should hear the sounds Dean makes, the way he writhes in pain. She clucks her tongue, shakes her head, and makes a pleased sound. You could almost think John never crawled out of hell. Sam twists something experimentally with his mind, anger making him reckless. She shrieks, tries to laugh through it, but Dean's more fun. She chokes on her own blood. He's always been more fun. Sam growls, closes in tighter on her mind. He screams for you. Wrong answer, Sam thinks, and he loves a little irony too. It's the last thing she ever taunts him with. It's the last thing she says of her own free will. Scream for me. It's the only thing she really does after that. when Sam's using her to lure other demons to him, when Sam's got her head pressed into the pillow, fucking her hard and rough and raw into the mattress. Her fault. She chose the body when she knew. She knew. When he's gleaning everything about hell from her. Scream for me is about all he ever says to her. Keeping the demons away in hell is considerably harder than controlling an army out there, Sam thinks. But it helps that they're not expecting him to stroll merrily into hell of his own accord, even for Dean, so they're not really looking for him. Besides, he's been around demons long enough in these last few months that he knows how to blend in. Still, it takes him longer than he'd thought to find Dean. When he does, the amulet in his hand practically melts into his skin. And Dean's exactly as Meg said he'd be, in a cage of bone and fire, thorn and nails. His skin's been almost stripped, or maybe they're just wounds, open and bleeding and raw. His fingers are curled, nails digging into his palms, lower lip between his teeth, biting almost all the way through when he's not screaming. Sam growls, and all of hell feels it. He ends up sending Meg and a few others ahead of him to scout it out. That, and to stay there. When he has Dean back, he won't need any of this anymore. He doesn't doubt they'll do exactly as they're told. They don't have much of a choice. Sam checks the girl Meg was parading in into a mental institution near her hometown. When she wakes up, she'll think everything's all in her head. She won't remember Meg or Sam or his army. When she wakes up, she won't know anything, and they'll all be in hell. Sam thinks that's a little ironic too. Apparently, news of him had made it down here long before he had. Every demon's at least 10 meters away, watching him warily the moment they notice him. Every demon, that is, except one. She puts a hand on her hip and looks at him expectantly. "Oh, Sam," she says, looking at him all coy. Her hand strokes slowly through Dean's hair. Dean flinches, and she puts his head closer to her leg, like she would a dog. "He made a deal, darling, and now he's paying the price," as if she really thinks it's going to protect her. Sam raises an eyebrow. She recoils away from Dean like she's been burned, which is kind of funny when they're surrounded by fire. "Sorry to break it to you," Sam says, sauntering towards Dean, who's trembling where he is, hurt and confused, and Sam swallows, scared. This isn't a negotiation. Demons align, sons of bitches, and Sam didn't come here to give them a chance to double-cross it. Making deals with the devil, as the story goes, is never a good idea. "But he swore," she hisses, eyes red and angry. "He said he'd come easy. We had a deal." "He did come easy," Sam explains, sending her a withering glare. "You never had a deal with me." He shows her his hand, then fits it to the mark on Dean's back. "He did." Dean looks up and meets his eyes, recognition, surprise, grateful, full of love, anger, disbelief, love, 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 finally there. "Sammy." The pain that shoots through his head is almost unbearable. He gasps, tears his eyes away from Dean, holds his focus, keeps his anger and hate, tries to remember a life without Dean, remembers Meg and pain and loneliness and anger, and tries to hold on. The fire starts to burn his skin. "Let's go," he says to Dean, threading their fingers together and locking them that way. "Hurry." He can feel them on their tail, chasing them as they make for the door. The fire burns now, shards his clothes and scalds his skin, slides between their hands and fingers, tries to tear them apart, tries to pull Dean back. Sam won't let go. Not after he's done so much, gone so far. Dean's all that can save him. He just has to save Dean first. The moment they're through the gates, and he knows Dean's there and real and back, and he's really done it. Sam lets the darkness finally take him. He wakes up to the feeling of a hand running through his hair. He's curled up against a warm body, can hear a heartbeat, steady and strong under his ear. He squeezes his eyes shut. "Please don't be a dream." And then he hears it. Metallica's Enter Sandman being hummed softly in times with the movement of those fingers. It can't be anyone else. It just can't be. He wants to snap his eyes open, wants to sit up and make sure, but his body's not cooperating. He curls closer and falls asleep again, actually resting for the first time in months. When he comes to this time, it's all still there, and he only knows he's crying because it starts to soak the t-shirt under his cheek. Shh, he hears Dean soothe, soft and familiar, easing Sam up until both arms are wrapped around him, holding him tight. It's okay, Sammy. I'm right here. I'm here with you, not going anywhere again. Dean lets him cling. Dean's clinging back just as hard. They stay there, pressed up close, hearts beating in sync, and Sam takes comfort in the soft whispers of it's okay, and he lets himself believe it is. Ellen and Joe come in a few hours later to find them still wrapped around each other. Sam turns his head a little, meets Ellen's surprised gaze, and manages a soft hi. His voice is rough with disuse. He wonders how long he was asleep. 10 days, Dean says, as if reading his thoughts. Sam nods and offers Ellen another soft smile. Ellen looks like she doesn't know what to make of him, and he's not surprised. He hasn't exactly been himself since he lost Dean, but since he's found him again, it's all gonna be okay. No wonder I'm so thirsty, he answers, cracks another smile. Ellen raises an eyebrow. What do you mean? 10 days is a long time. Ellen starts, tries to hide it, but Sam doesn't miss it. He hasn't lost the edge that came with working alone, with doing what he did. What? How did you know? Ellen perches on the edge of the bed carefully, clarifying at Sam's confused look. How long it's been. Dean just said. He's even more confused by Joe's soft gasp. Ellen's slight flinch. What? He asks, demands, and looks over to Dean, who's avoiding his eyes. Sam, Ellen says, catching his eyes again. Sam, Dean hasn't talked. I don't think he can. His voice, somehow, I don't know. The doctor doesn't know. Think it might be post-traumatic stress, but who knows? No one's ever done what they've done. But, Sam says, looking back at Dean, desperate to understand, desperate for some confirmation, for something more. He'd try to make sure, and when they'd seen Dad, and Sam, all Sam had done is make sure Dean's spirit would manifest into his body, whole, complete. He'd spent so long, researched for days, weeks, months to make sure, and Sam heard him. But I could... he hears Dean say. It sounds completely normal to him. One look at Ellen, however, tells him all he needs to know. She can't hear him. Sammy, you can. I don't know why, but you can. Dean's lips curl up, smirk familiar, eyes teasing. You freak. Sam laughs, bright and honest and clear, tucking his face back against Dean's neck. Jerk. Pitch. Dean ruffles his hair, kisses his temple, and Ellen just smiles, still a little sure, and puts the tray of food and medical kit down on the table. She and Joe leave quietly. Dean's fingers trace the scar on his palm, pads running over the still healing, still sensitive skin slowly. Sam watches him, can't bring himself to say anything else. You're an idiot, you know. Dean chides softly. You're a fucking idiot. After everything I did. I had to, Sam says, and Dean meets his eyes, catches them and locks on. I know. And Sam knows Dean does. Dean knows everything, but Dean won't let him look away, and finally, Sam feels the darkness, all that power, start to seep away, drain from him. He doesn't even try to hold on. And he feels those tears again. I'm sorry, he manages to choke off a long while later. I had to. I'm sorry. He isn't talking about bringing Dean back. He's not sorry for that. it's for everything else. I know, Dean says quietly, rubs his back softly. I know, Sammy, I know. And leans forwards, seals his lips over Sam, kisses him slowly, like they have all the time in the world. And, Sam realizes, his lips curl up into a genuine smile. They really do.